everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 319. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined with my two other equal hosts. I hate saying co-hosts because it makes you feel like lesser, and that's like
not equal hosts.
Like, equal hosts.
It's crazy.
My boys.
My boy host, my friend host. These my boy host is not hosts. The way I should have said that.
These other guys here.
The only boy host is Jesse. Jesse is a boy host.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
What am I?
I'm a little dirty boy.
I'm a dirty boy host. Such a meager little voice.
And with that, I'm just going to say it's a Jesse episode today, everybody. And I'm going to give it to the dirty little boy to take control.
Well, before we do that, probably someone should say something about Patreon, and then I can talk about conspiracy theory real quick, because let me tell you, I got both a COVID booster and a flu shot same day. Felt totally fine.
Holy shit.
I'm not like a guy who gets a lot of pimples, but I got two next to each other right above my eyebrow. And I'm just saying conspiracy. Conspiracy.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Conspiracy.
Really big spider.
Yeah. Two in a straight line. Yeah. That's not natural.
You're like, like Australia sized spider.
Yeah. Like what if it's just like two big spider fangs? Bang, bang.
Whoa. And you went, yeah, that's fine. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't bother me. He's killing all the flies or whatever.
I got bit so bad by a spider the other day that I was like unable to function properly.
I got bit so bad by a spider that I went to patreon.com/IlluminatiPod.
Whoa.
Got us there.
Thrown off. Holy shit. Yeah. I like it. What can you find there, Jesse? What's there?
Spider and spider related materials, as far as I'm aware.
It's all spider stuff.
Spiders all the way
down. It's like a big spider egg. And then there's like a fucking 400,000 spiders in there. It's nasty as hell. Get there as soon as you can. It's
super gross. You want to get wrapped up in really, the cocoon.
It's really like expensive. And all you get is a bunch of quote unquote bugs. They're not bugs. They're arachnids, but they're your arachnids. Patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. Check it out.
Pretty great.
It's very bad. Yeah. Go check it out.
It's very bad. Please go there. Right. What a sell. Fantastic job. I guess this is like a good way to start our spooky season here at Chilluminati Pod, as the spooky season begins with Jesse.
Well, gentlemen, dear listeners, you've joined us during the spookiest of seasons, and I would very much like to start us off with a proper introduction to October, with the creation of a new arm of the Chilluminati. If Alex and Mathis can do it, I can do it, and so I am. I call this the Chilluminite Society.
Okay.
Is it a secret society within the society?
More just for storytelling.
Okay. It's just a hobbyist club. Okay.
I have three stories with which to share to set the mood this holiday season.
We love to see it.
All of them are very spooky. Different vibes entirely. Maybe connected in some way. Who knows? So, submitted for the approval of the Chilluminite Society, I call this first story Morty's.
All right, Dean, I need you to put the sound effects of fire flaring up really loudly a little more.
Yes. I'm glad we all get the reference. Okay,
good. Slightest hint of a musical sting.
Yeah, very slight. Copyright free amount.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't get a suit.
No, then you get
it's
fired.
It's actually fast enough that you could probably dead ass use the real thing, but don't.
Yeah.
But don't.
We don't want to play that game.
For all of us old enough to remember the time before the internet, when kids would ride bikes till sundown and phones were only used for making calls and Blockbuster Video was not a joke.
Shout out. I did 7 years in the B. BSI, baby.
It's so cold in the B, dude.
CSRs, dog. What's up?
I did about 8 years in the other B, Applebee's.
Oh.
I thought you meant.
I know what you thought I meant.
I don't know what you meant.
All right. I thought Halloween was scary in a lot of ways this year.
Well, the rise of the internet at the time came to many people as a shock. A lot of people thought the idea of going on a computer and sending mail or looking at websites was incredibly weird. There is a very famous clip of the Today Show from 1994 where Bryant Gumbel and Katie Couric are laughing at the concept of email and seem completely baffled by it. If you can find it online, it is hilarious to look at because it's wild. They're like, I can't even believe people. Why would you do this?
Computers were nerdy, man. They didn't know we were going to watch porn on it.
Yeah. And most of the criticism and mockery for it was mostly because early internet infrastructure was slow and clunky, and simply due to the nature of the web technology at the time, you know, it highlighted all the difficulties with dial-up, because that sound that we're all pretty familiar with, if you grew up in that time, you know, or maybe having to fight over mom with when you could use the phone.
Oh, right? Yeah. That kind of stuff. Many an argument when I'm playing Warcraft 1 online with my friend Direct Connect and gets interrupted, and if she doesn't hang up fast enough, the game will be lost.
Yes.
Yeah, fucking bad times. But also, some fun little AOL kid pages with some fun games out there.
Hometown? Were you all over that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Getting your first email, man, was cool. Wow, was a cool feeling.
I think I've said this before. My first email is literally just my name and my birth date.
I knew what it was.
Like, that's crazy.
Literally, birth date is wild. Birth date is wild. That's like, might as well give him your last four.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Yeah.
I've had the same one the entire time, though. I've had the same exact SN on everything the entire time.
Not me at all.
Needless to say, I don't have that. That email is dead. And needs to stay dead, because that's a crazy thing to do. But, you know, for as incredible as the technology was then and has since become, the start was pretty jank. We can all remember back to AOL, like we were talking about, or GeoCities, or other, you know, things that existed at the time. But there was another website, one that was even more weird and mysterious and had a lot of traffic head to it. This was, of course, Mortis.com.
No idea. I am not familiar with this.
If you shared the site or managed to find it on your own, it was a simple black screen with nothing but stark white text. No graphics, no loud noises, no disturbing images that were all the rage to troll your friends with in the 90s. There was nothing. Just a black screen with a login prompt. ID and password. That was it. Two blank fields. It looked like the login for a private server, or maybe an admin portal, or some sort of operations or functional system or something. But the chilling implication of it was made immediate, because, like, it's mortis.com, which the name is very weird.
It's like Latin for death, right?
Yeah. And there's something weird going on with it. People are like, what is this? Because it felt like you ran into something that you couldn't see, and you were kind of like on the outside looking in, like there's something going on and no one knew what it was. And this is during the time where everyone's bombarding their websites with graphics that are sparkly glitter GIFs of fairies and Neopets. And like, this stood out as weird.
Dude, the story of Neopets is crazy. You know, it's back up and running again now.
Yeah.
Well, of course it is.
It's been done going. It's just,
well, it was going, and then it was bought by a company.
Yeah, there was,
and then
a situation.
Company closed it down, and then the original creator bought the rights back and then got a little team together and relaunched it. And it's just like, that game is still going.
And we've covered some of that, where we had like the weird Neopets,
the glitter
mystery.
The glitter PNG business. Yeah.
So at this time, most people are doing things through AOL or GeoCities or some hosting thing. If you're making your own web page, it means you kind of know what you're doing. And obviously, with the name Mortis.com, it must have meant something, right? So, of course, this turns into a conspiracy and people are flocking to this page, thinking like, what the hell could this be? It becomes sort of like one of the first, is it a cult? Is it a dark web thing? People are very interested at the time. But the real scary thought that the more internet savvy people had was that maybe if you're visiting this site and trying to log in via a random password, or you're just goofing around, maybe the owner of the site knew that you were there and the site was sort of logging,
like watching
every desperate
IPs?
Curious person.
Yeah, like an IP log. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even though you were never invited inside, they were now gathering information on you, everyone watching from the gate. The site, of course, became an obsession among early internet sleuths, because it was kind of this ultimate unsolved mystery. It wasn't a game you could actually win. It wasn't a wall you could actually scale. It was this kind of thing that existed. And so people would pore over the source code, desperate to find any sort of hidden key. And while there was no way they could detect what was inside, they did discover how much of it there was. Mortis.com hosted a ridiculous amount of data, with some estimates being in the terabytes.
How did they figure that out?
They were just digging through files. I wish I could tell you, honestly. And there's a lot of this that we'll get to that's like, a lot of this is lost information. I'll try to explain when we get to that point. But they would go through and they would try to like bombard the website with all sorts of like early bots and things. This is a high amount of data. Unless you're like a Fortune 500 company at the time, there's absolutely no reason to have this amount of data in the 90s. To give you some idea, in the year 2000, Seagate announced their high capacity drive was 182 gigabytes. So it's pretty clear that Mortis was not used by a single individual.
It could have been like some sort of back end to some sort of data repository. Is that what you
said? Of something. Yeah, there's something clearly being hosted there. Especially, again, we're talking the 90s, a time when consumers are using dial-up at 56K, or if you're a big, rich company, you have 10 megabytes up and down.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Which, for those of you who lived at that time, I know porn was mentioned earlier. You tried to get porn at 56K, y'all, that was the funniest thing, because it would go line by line by line. It was hilarious. You were waiting, like, oh, I think that's ahead.
Dude.
And most of them were really loading your computer up with Trojan viruses. Oh, like most websites, the pop-ups. Oh, I ruined a couple family computers in my youth.
And again, the name Mortis is doing a lot of the heavy lifting here, because not only is it a website filled with tons of data that you can't access, the name implies a darker purpose. And because you can't get to it, again, bigger and crazier conspiracy theories. People thinking maybe this is something truly clandestine. Maybe there's like something going on here. And when the hacker portion of the internet finally showed up, they tried to brute force their way in. They were bombarding the login with millions of passwords and ID combos, and still, they could not get in. And because of this, the website's popularity grew more and more, and more people became interested in what was going on, which inevitably led to people posting for clout, saying, oh, I hacked it, and oh, I got inside, and I found all these things inside. None of it is verifiable. None of it.
Yeah, all the old forums days. There's forums for everything. I'm sure you were on a few as a kid. I was on a couple of them.
Shout out Unfiction. You know, the ARG
thankfully
forum.
We don't have that problem where people just make stuff up on the internet anymore.
Shout out something awful.
The only real verifiable clues were that the website was registered under someone named Thomas Ling. This person's alias, whatever, was connected to 20 other websites registered under the same name, hosted by a company located in Philadelphia, which only led to more questions, because one website said Thomas Ling worked as a dentist. One website was for a Thomas Ling, the lawyer. One website was for a security firm. One website was for a quilt business. People would then try to reach out and contact Thomas. And basically, as far as anyone can tell, either they didn't reach him, he didn't exist, didn't want to talk to people, or was lying. Like, again, conflicting stories, early internet. People could have just been making up stuff. I don't know. One video online claimed that they found a Thomas Ling in Australia, but when they went there to go talk to him, it was an unused plot of land.
What?
I can't really confirm, but I guess that's part of the mystery. But this is like a recent, like, four-year-old video, so I don't know. At the time, people were just trying to hunt down Thomas Ling any way they could, which I'm sure pissed off some Thomas Lings out there in the world who were like, I don't know what you're talking about. What are you doing? Because you know they definitely went to everyone named Thomas Ling.
I empathize. Do you guys remember Daddy of Five getting like in trouble? His name was Mike Martin in real life, like the vlog YouTuber. If you don't, I was forced to learn who he was.
Daddy of Five was not a big part. I got to be honest. Not one of my main guys.
Wasn't for me either until, you know, he got like brought to court about like child mistreatment to his family, because basically his whole shtick is like pranking his kids. I don't know. Yuck. And I got a lot of tweets about how I'm a piece of shit father, and I was very confused for a hot minute there before I had to learn who that was. So it sucks.
Yeah, there's a politician in, I think, North Carolina or South Carolina or somewhere named Michelle Morrow, who's not a good person.
God.
And our dear friend Michelle, because she has all the Michelle Morrows ever, was getting bombarded with people like, you're sick and disgusting. She's like, I don't know what you mean.
He's so, like, wrong one, man.
Yeah. It happens.
Yep.
Absolutely insane. It's like, this is like Satoshi, the Bitcoin guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's like, what is Thomas Ling? He might be like a fucking trust.
Yeah, might not even be a real thing.
Crime trust.
Thank you so much to today's sponsor, ZocDoc. Remember that doctor's appointment you were supposed to be making like a while ago? The one that you meant to book but got sidetracked and completely forgot about until right now, actually. Yeah, you know, the dentist appointment for your biannual cleaning, Ted. Yeah, I know, Ted. Well, why not book today? ZocDoc makes it easy to find the right doctor right now, and it's all online. You'll probably be able to book an appointment before the end of this ad. Yeah, timing you starting now, actually. Here goes the clock. Yep. Hey, there we go. If you don't know, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can even filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. Appointments made through ZocDoc also happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking. More often than not, you can even get same-day appointments. So stop putting off those doctor appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/chill to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/chill. ZocDoc.com/chill. Thank you again to ZocDoc for sponsoring today's episode.
We're not even done with how cryptic and weird this gets, because there were other websites. One was EternalNight.com. One was Xerio.com. And then there was Cthulhu.net, which was just as simplistic as Mortis. A black page, no login screen this time, but the phrase "dead but dreaming" on it.
And there happens some Cthulhu-Cthulian.
I mean, yeah, that's part of the Cthulhu mythos. Yeah. Is the idea is like dead, sleeping in the, like, there's a whole line.
This we
is
exist like a truncated as a version dream of their reality. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There's some conflicting stories about whether there was a chess piece on the website too, but many people are talking about how there are chess pieces on other websites. So perhaps they're combining them together. Maybe there was a chess piece.
I don't know. Visual theme that was like kind of like a little wink.
Maybe. Yeah. Because there were some people saying that many of the websites had a chess piece. And then some people were saying that the Cthulhu website had a chess piece. But then others were like, no, it didn't. You guys are misremembering. So potentially it did. But yeah, it might have been a theme across the entire thing. I don't know.
I remember something about a chess piece when I was hearing about this. This is one of those ones that has almost been on my episodes like a million times. And I just, I never went that deep into it, but I remember there being, I remember seeing a chess piece.
We'll get to why it's hard to go into deep into this one, because it is a lot of this. I must stress the confirmation is strictly based on like a few sources these days.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that because it gets weird. Time passes. Fades from people's minds because there's always conflicting stories in the early 2000s. No one can really find anything. And it wasn't until 2011 when it was rediscovered by 4chan. And you know those 4chan users, they are a different breed. And didn't just deep dive. They went like head first in. But just as this resurgence of interest began anew, the website goes down. And a large portion of the websites associated with it are taken down as well.
I got to ask you, does something become more believable to you boys, both of you, if when interest or whatever is found, they delete their account, maybe the post remains, or is it more believable if they continue to, say if it's a Reddit post, for instance, they continue to engage or they leave the website up? Which one does it feel more believable? Because I can see both sides where suddenly people pay attention to it and then removing it would just fuel that fire and leave legend to kind of like take hold. I don't know.
Depends on a lot of different forensic details, I would say. Like, I encounter this a lot in the stuff that I do that is like so sus. Like, I probably put up the sussest stuff on the show, right? Like, I probably go live with the sussest theories.
Depends on who you ask, I think.
They're still incredibly well researched. I'm not saying they aren't. They're just sus.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times with stuff like that, it'll be like a UFO that like it's the only post they've ever made and now the account's pulled down. That's almost 100% fake. But
then there's the UFO ones where like same thing happens. The guy should, like, I think it's the genetics one. And even the mods come on are like, he's been shadow banned somehow, but none of us did it. And we're trying to figure out how.
I mean, that's I think what Alex is talking about. It's like perspective based where you can see a UFO post and it's only been posted by one person and it's their only post ever and it gets taken down. You can either see it as, well, that was fake and everyone knew that was fake. Or you can see it as the government got them.
And in the context of the mods, like, if I was the mod of a UFO subreddit, it would behoove me very much to, like, legitimize that post a little bit in that way. Mm-hmm. Because it would, in fact, and I'm not trying to accuse them of this, please.
No,
like,
no,
seriously.
I got you. You're doing that devil's advocate. That
I'm talking
necessary.
About reasoning. I'm just talking about reasoning. And, like, as an example, like, that's something that I might consider before I thought about that. Like, if it's something like, let's say this Mortis website is there and it's been there for sure for 15 years. And then all of a sudden an article comes out and it goes away and a bunch of websites associated with it go away that were clearly the result of at least thousands of dollars of networking and stuff. Like, to me, that is much more interesting of a situation. That sounds like when you go to a business and the business is like up and running one day, and then the next day you come back and it looks like there never was a business.
Yes.
That happened to me. That happened to me the other day. We were walking up the street and we were like, oh my God, that abandoned like auto body shop is going to be turned into a tiki bar. That's so awesome.
Oh, we walked by that when I was there and it was being set up on the inside.
Yeah, that we were like, that's so awesome. And then like 1 week later, it was back to being how it was. Exactly. And we were like,
whoa. All right. I don't know. Alex, do you know this? There's an area next to the Culver City Mall where there's it's like a Persian rug place across from a Del Taco.
Yeah, I do know exactly where that is.
That Persian rug place. I drove by there and was like, oh, it's a restaurant now. There are people outside eating. And then a few days later, I drove by Persian rug place again.
What?
What?
So what it was?
Do you think it was like a set, like a movie thing?
What it almost certainly was a movie set, because that's exactly what it was. When I looked at it again, it was like established 1968 on the bar. It's like, no, it wasn't. Is it like?
Okay.
Same thing happened with Kelly one time. There was a bus stop as she was walking Wallace, and like all of a sudden, like there was a guy at the bus stop stands up. I think I talked about this on the show. Guy at the bus stop stands up with his hands up, and like 15 vans like roll up and pop out, and it was like Phil Coulson. It was like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was filming. Like, L.A. is a weird place for that reason.
I bet you it's cheap to like rent a place like that for a couple days, fill like indie movie, whatever you're doing, and then boom, you just kind of give it back. Yeah, that
as
makes
long as
sense.
You turn it exactly back, and they're amazing at that. Like, wow. Also, my uncle one time, his house, Marvel offered him a bunch of money to film Hulk in there, but they would have to destroy the house. And he was like, no. Like, they were going to like put it back and everything, but he was like, I don't want to go through that.
Put it back, like build him a new home.
They do. I swear to God that is how they do that shit. Like, in a city. When they do it in a city street, they like blow up a shop and then they fix it. They take pictures and everything. What am I fucking saying? If that happens, if it's that big of a missing thing, that is when the bells go off in terms of like, oh shit, this is like worth writing an episode about.
Well, get ready to hear the bells. Get ready to hear the bells. So 4chan, deep diving, and then immediately all the sites go down. At this point, rumors and talk about the sites, it explodes on 4chan. I don't know what to trust here, but some people said that Thomas Ling reached out to them and said, stop trying to hack the server. And, you know, other people said that when they asked him, what are you up to? He responded, and this is them saying, oh, we found him, by the way. No evidence, just 4chan, saying, oh, he was hosting family photos there. Which, that's a lot of family photos for terabytes.
Mortis.com?
Yeah, exactly, which is weird.
Death.com?
Maybe it's their last name, man.
What's
Ling? Ling is his last name.
Yeah.
Right, true.
What's wild about it is that since 2011 and when this all went down, nearly everything except for a few of those 4chan posts and the occasional Reddit post that will pop up has been wiped from the internet. You aren't going to find it in the Wayback Machine. If you go there right now and look up mortis.com, I swear to God, it says, sorry, this website has been excluded from the Wayback Machine. Which is something I didn't even know you could do.
Wow. Oh, you 100% can. It's a DNS. It's like, you're done. Like, no, if you go there.
Which is crazy. I was like, oh, weird. Another interesting theory comes from the YouTube channel Barely Sociable, which has a video about this.
Great, great channel.
And it says that the original source code investigations found a code for an embedded media player. Again, this is based on 4chan posts. No other evidence other than 4chan posts.
An embedded media player in the
source code
to play media back alpha
using tech. At the time, the search led to emails linked to the site, which then linked to various groups of emails associated with it, and they tracked them all down. And I guess the way he describes it, and I'll see if I can summarize it because it's really techie, but basically, when you find the emails, you can track those emails to various groups online the emails are associated with. And then through those sites, which are much less secure because we're talking about like hacker dudes here, they can see what these emails were interacting with. And what you would find out is that basically they were being connected to downloading videos. And an example that is used in Barely Sociable, which is kind of like, I think the thesis at the end of the video for him solving it in his words, is that in 2011, 4chan claimed that one of the files downloaded was Drive Crazy 3BDB25 Par 2, which sounds like gibberish unless you were illegally downloading movies at the time.
That's the Nicolas Cage movie, right?
In which that's the Nick Cage movie from 2011, Drive Angry, which came out in February, and the 4chan post of all this started in September, so it does possibly line up. So what Barely Sociable saying is that Thomas Ling, or whoever was doing this, was basically downloading and hosting illegal movies to play online for friends, family, whatever.
Gotcha.
And many believe this was his family, since some emails and websites associated with the server were names that could be family, right? It would be like somethingsomethingling.com. And so the idea was, oh, he's hosting sites for his kids till they're ready to use them. Or maybe Cthulhu.net or Mortis.com are sites he's just holding because having that, it's the vibe of the early internet. You want to hold those things, right? Just in case. But either way, all this information is only based on posts from that time period, 2011 and early 2012, on 4chan. There is no information available at all anywhere else on the internet at all. Go on a deep dive, go look it up. I promise you, what you will find is stuff based on that 4chan post or stuff based on the Barely Sociable post. And people are like, no, it's been solved. It was this. But their source is this thing, which is based off 4chan. So there's nothing that exists. And anything you read is going to be people. Like I saw this one guy's video on YouTube where he so very clearly either AI copied or something, an article posted on a different website. It was almost word for word. And I was like, okay. So yeah, it's kind of circling back in on itself, and because it's weird and spooky and it's this internet thing, no one has an answer, and I don't think we have definitive proof either way. If anyone knows what Thomas Ling is even real, there is zero real evidence except for people on 4chan saying they found things and then other people extrapolating. And since that time, nearly all talk about it has been wiped from the internet, or is this circular talk that is just 4chan to video to YouTube to Reddit to whatever, back and forth.
Yeah, I'm looking right now and I don't see anything that has anything other than basically he said 4chan. Like, I'm reading his post about Mortis.com about how it might have been like a PI and some names that were connected to it. But all this comes at the source of amateur investigators, which I imagine means,
well,
4chan users.
I did find a little something that had to do with this a couple years ago, and I just pulled up the link to it, and it's kind of interesting. So there's a post, and I'll read the post just because this is actually quite interesting, and I have the links to show you because I got to get it all ready. But basically, there's a post of somebody looking into this because of Barely Sociable's video, and they found that Cthulhu.net actually is on the Wayback Machine. Yeah, and what they found out is that it's been archived, and then it never was archived after 2011. There's the ellipses after Dead But Dreaming. It's just, I'll show. So here's how it shows up. If you go to the very most recent archive of Cthulhu.net, and I will throw this in the show notes so you can see the difference. But if you go back further, it links to various things. There's the leftmost dot on the Dead But Dreaming ellipses, which links to various things. Sometimes they find it linking to Mortis.com. Sometimes they find it linking to other sites. But on January 24th, 2005, during an archive, which is ostensibly the same website, if you click that link on the leftmost ellipses, it leads to something quite interesting.
Trip updates, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah,
they're like a trip blog, and they seem to be written by somebody that could be named Thomas Ling, because it's all about traveling in Hong Kong and in China and stuff. And, you know, at least he has the same name and there's pictures.
I see one. Yeah, I see day four has a picture of him smirking at a laptop.
Each one has like updates. It's like a journal. And there's dead links for a lot of the images, but some of the images are there. And it seems there's somebody involved called Karen. Day four
has one that works.
Yeah, they're all dated 2004. And this that makes sense for something that was in January of 2005. I feel like if I sat here and I read all this and like wrote it out, I could like probably like Sherlock Holmes this guy a little bit.
This post is strange. Like just this talk. Lunch ended for the first time, Karen and I went our separate ways. She had some sort of paranoia I would end up getting lost and winding up somewhere in rural China. Nope. Anyway, Karen goes off. When she comes back, Karen has bags of things that she just refers to as stuff. It seems totally normal, but also like weirdly written. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean... It's
Karen carried two very large bags nested in each other while I had everything organized with the Eagle Creek packet system. As for electronics, well, I went light relative to my usual armamentarium. No portable speakers, but I did bring a mobile Wi-Fi station.
I mean, it seems like potentially that Ling is a real person, but
this
it's also
could be him.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, the whole thing's strange and no one has answers. And it very much could be a guy just doing a thing and hosting movies for his family. Like that's
my bad.
It.
It's actually a trip to Thailand. If you read the first one, I didn't read the first one.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But they go through Hong Kong and through the Hong Kong airport.
But then again, the fact that you have to go to Cthulhu.net, click a little dot, and then it leads to a series of images.
It feels like he's like a quirky guy, and then he hides like little ways in his little websites to people. Then he sends different websites to different people, kind of thing. Like if you go back all the way back to what to like 2001 through 2011 on the Cthulhu.net way
back. It's a completely different site. Yeah,
there's a lot of there's a lot of different snapshots of it in different forms, and I wish I could see what some of them are, but like
and maybe that's what they were talking about with the chess piece. Maybe that was there.
Could be. There's like a weird like image text of it, and you can actually like scroll through them on archive if you know how to do it up at the top, and you can see, I don't know what Ruffle is. That's like probably some old plugin, but it looks like it has a scroll bar.
Yeah, at some point if you go to I just lost it. One of the later ones, the ellipses, if you click, it takes you to Mortis.
Yeah, exactly. Like depending on which version of it you're on, it actually does lead to different links. And then, yeah. So the first time it has that look is in May of 2004, but it's not, there's nothing like, and, but you know, it's probably worth checking the source of all these different pages because there may be stuff anywhere in any of these. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so mesmerized by the confidence in which people have answers here, because I don't know that I can say either way that I know what any of this is. But everyone's like, no, we have the answers. We're confident in what it is. I'm like, okay, all right.
That's weird.
It's very weird. I don't understand it.
Yeah, there's some stuff.
Yeah, but that is only our first little foray.
Interesting.
And to the Chaluminite Society. Gentlemen, those of you at home, submitted for the approval of the Chaluminite Society, I call this story Call of the Deep. The Blue Hole in the Red Sea is a world-famous diving spot off the coast of Egypt. It is a massive underwater sinkhole formed by erosion that has somehow created a vertical shaft that goes straight down around 130 meters or 420 feet.
In the water, you said?
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Hole is what it's called?
Yes.
Jesse, are you afraid of sharks particularly, or do you have thalassophobia?
Oh,
as like
no,
a whole?
Pure thalassophobia. No, this would be the worst for me. I hate this.
Okay, cool.
Anything that can come get me from below me, not a fan.
Play Subnautica.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to. I have, and I hate it. I didn't even want to get off my wrecked ship. I was like, I'll die here. But it's weird because the Blue Hole is this massive vertical shaft, but the area around it's only about like 20 feet deep or 6 meters. The reason people go there is because not only is it unique and a diver's dream, but also it features some amazing locales like the Arch, which is a submerged tunnel about 55 meters down, which connects the hole to this open sea passage that leads outside to an outside wall that drops to roughly 1,000 meters or 3,300 feet straight down. Good You've God. Probably seen some photos of that area or photos of the blue hole. It's gorgeous looking. Huge incredible. Distance. But if you're a person like me, it's terrifying. I do not ever want to go there. But for divers and fans of the sea, seems like the ideal spot. Until you learn, it is nicknamed the Diver's Cemetery.
Blue hole leads to Diver's Cemetery.
It is the Diver's Cemetery.
Like the opposite of the top of Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm. It is considered one of the deadliest diving sites in the world, and most of that comes from the phrase, the call of the deep, or call of the void, or in French, l'appel du vide.
That one sounds nicer. I gotta be honest.
Divers, even those highly trained with years of experience, often experience this call to go deeper. It's incredibly scary sounding, and many times it is. Obvious. If you're, you know, like if you're swimming in a coral reef or off the shore, you're obviously not going to experience this. There's no deeper to go. But if you're in the open water or you're in a place like this, where there's a vertical shaft pointing straight down, there's something inside you calling you to go down further.
I wonder if it's similar to like the intrusive thoughts of like when you're sitting at an edge of like a tall spot.
Very similar. Yes.
What would happen if you jumped? And it's like, nope, no brain. Let's not worry about what would happen.
People
if you
just jumped. Do this.
That's crazy.
Instead of jumping, they just are like, oh, I can swim down there. And they keep going further down and down and down. Like something is calling to them. And this has been experienced by many people. There are so many stories about this online. I just grabbed a few just for time. This one is on a scuba diving subreddit. I'm gonna give this to Mathis. Enjoy.
From user Dupin9161, this guy wrote, my mom was friends with the guy who was a professional diver. He was diving an unexplored trench with a whole crew, trying to see how deep they could go. When they shone a flashlight on him, they noticed his mask was off, and one of the other guys tried to put it back on him, but he resisted help and started swimming down. Always gives me the creeps to think about. He was never found. Still makes my mom sad to talk about. She said he was a really great guy.
Fucking nuts, dude.
Another one. This is for you, Alex. Again, from just a scuba diving Reddit.
User Parasite45 wrote, a diving instructor took his students to a class in an ocean. The idea was to get them adjusted to not being able to see the seafloor, as sometimes that's something that happens. This particular guy felt that something was wrong with his student, and when he looked at him, he was staring down, then began swimming down. He tried to stop him at first, grabbing his shoulder before he could move too far, but he shook him off and kept moving down. The teacher swam after him and grabbed his leg. The student turned back to his teacher, smiled, shook his leg, and continued swimming. Eventually, the teacher had to leave him down there because otherwise he would risk his own life, and supposedly this is something that happens to diving instructors often.
And speaking specifically of the blue hole, there are so many Reddit posts on the various, you know, Reddit sides of, you know, underwater exploration, scuba diving, even horror stories, where basically like this happens there all the time. There's even, I don't recommend looking it up, but there's a very famous story about a guy who went down, disappeared. When they found his body, he was very dead, but he had a camera on him. They brought the camera to the surface. It's just a video of this man going down far enough that he drowns and dies. Awful stuff.
It's so bizarre. Yeah, that pull, like, of, and I do wonder too. I wonder if it's because, like, that feeling to jump, but you have more control. There's no immediate rush of adrenaline of like leaping off an edge. You actually feel like you have complete control the whole time. Like, I don't know.
There's like a peacefulness to floating. There's a lot of weird stuff. There is an answer everyone kind of agrees on, and we'll get to that in a second. But like this idea of just, you're not falling, you're swimming towards a thing. So yeah, you have a control to it. It's your body doing it. You're not, it's just like, well, I guess we'll see what happens when I fall off this edge.
I bet you though, like if we're looking, this guy has something to do with the oxygen, like, right? Like,
yes.
The only common factor I could say is that oxygen isn't being enough, or it's like making them gloopy.
It's called nitrogen narcosis.
Narcosis, yes.
And basically, The way it works is the deeper you go in water, the more compressed the literal air we breathe becomes.
Right. Because you have a shelf of water as physical matter. It is on top of you, pressing down the whole time.
Right. Like, the closer you get to the core of the earth, the more the pressure becomes. And so by the time a diver hits 30 meters, for example, or 100 feet, the nitrogen in their bloodstream or brain starts to act like alcohol. This is actually called Martini's Law. Every 10 meters is like one martini.
That's crazy.
At 30 meters, you start to get this feeling of euphoria. Your reasoning slightly impaired. You're three martinis deep. At 60 meters, your motor coordination's affected. You're making weird calculation errors and choices because your confidence is off the chart. You start laughing, start smiling because you're feeling buzzed. You're like drunk.
No wonder nobody's afraid of like sharks coming up behind them out of the darkness of nothing, because they're like, fuck yeah, bro. Shark's gonna have a martini, dude.
At 90 meters, you're experiencing hysteria, terror, loss of memory, increased excitability, possibly hallucinations. And if we're talking 90 plus, which is 300 feet or more, full-on visual hallucinations. Your vision and hearing are freaking out. You're having manic and depressive states one after the other. You're losing time. You are going unconscious, and eventually that leads to death. And the reason I talked about, you know, the blue hole, which we'll get to in a second, is because of how deep that thing is. And for clarity, we have deep divers all the time. They go down welding or doing underwater construction, but they do so in a diving bell to adjust for the depth, which may take days of them sitting in a diving bell because of how truly crazy you can go underwater.
Yeah. And then they have to keep everything heavily pressurized. If you, there's like, I a long time ago, I was seeing this like accident that happened on those things really deep underground where they do that kind of thing, and the pressure wasn't done properly, and when they opened the door, it shot back and like just fucking mangled everybody because it slammed them against the walls.
There's one very famous story of a guy, like, I think it might be one or two guys, I don't know, but same pressure thing, where because of a pressure differential, they get sucked into a little tube and were basically like goopified.
Yep. It's nuts.
That's crazy.
And you look at like, and you also look at just like, never mind anything going wrong. Living down there for the like weeks that they have to be down there sometimes, that is a tiny ass like tin can sardine in like being crunched by water at every opportunity. And you have to sit there and just be like, what are we doing today, Bob? I don't know.
You'll hear stories. They have to go to a separate thing to go to the bathroom. And you'll hear crazy stories of the walk over to that. They're like, it is weird down there.
I can't. It's like, oh, God. Whew.
The effects on the body are terrifying. One diver recalled being at depth and feeling an intense euphoria. He saw this deep blue water. It was so dark, almost black. But then he saw like a shimmer of light. And in his impaired state, he thought, oh, that's the sunlight of the surface. So he started swimming towards it. But he was going deeper and deeper and deeper.
Oh, jeez.
A buddy of his had to physically restrain him and pull him back because he kept fighting him because he thought his buddy was trying to drown him.
Why would his buddy try to drown him?
Because he was drunk on air.
Out of his mind.
That's so crazy, dude.
A technical diver shared a story of a shipwreck that was deep underwater, and he was so completely mesmerized by a fish that he saw, and he was just watching it for he doesn't even know how long, that he completely forgot about his decompression schedule that he needed to follow in order to get back up to the surface so he wouldn't die.
Yeah, you can't go right up, for people who don't know, from going deep down. You have to go up slowly at like I said, a certain schedule, because you're
fucking, he was
go
down there fast, so long, like, his air was running out because he was looking at this damn fish, because it mesmerized. He was like, oh, I gotta go. And so he had to figure out a way to get to the top safely.
I never want to go scuba diving in my life anymore. Never.
I don't want to go already. Just go snorkeling.
What I think is probably the scariest version, which is one of the stories that we read. He was saying that while he was underwater, he had this overwhelming urge come over him to remove all of his safety equipment, the mask, the tanks, the weight belts, even the buoyancy control devices. He said he was suffering from severe narcosis at an extreme depth, and then felt a sudden like, I could get, you know what? I don't need this. He was later rescued and recalled having this impulse to pull everything off of him because he just felt like, I don't need this down here. I can live underwater.
dude.
Which is crazy.
I just want to be I want to observe the moment where that revelation is immediately met with reality and how quickly that goes away. You're like,
I wonder if it does, dude, because you would just pass out eventually, right?
Yeah, you would eventually, but there's got to be a moment of
like, know right before, like, who knows?
I feel like once you go and try to breathe water the first time, you suddenly realize you can't live underwater, actually.
It's just an absolutely bizarre thing. That's real.
Scary as hell.
Yeah. And that brings us back to the blue hole. That arch, that famous thing everyone wants to go see, that's 55 meters down. And as we discussed, this is the time your brain starts to think you are just drunk. And because the water is so clear, everyone says that when you're down there, you misjudge the distance. And so you're misjudging the distance and you have the courage of a guy at a bar who's had too much to drink. And you see this breathtaking thing. I'm going for it. And it gets so many people. So many people die under there because they think, screw it, I got it.
Yep.
And they die.
They don't realize how far away it actually is.
Yeah. And crazy. So the next time you hear this, like a tale of a diver going missing in the deep, remember, it's probably not a Lovecraftian creature that took them. It is as simple as nitrogen gas that turned their brain against them.
Is that any less scary?
No. Like, in fact, it's probably more because it's you.
It's like you just being like, ha, 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 let me go die. That's like crazy.
The fact that dudes like that's a horror movie is someone's going, they look down, start swimming down. You grab them. They look back at you and they're smiling. Like, that's terrifying. That's way worse than like a goop monster grabbing
they're
you.
Like, let me go. Ha, ha, ha,
ha. Yeah, they try to kick you off.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No, thank you.
It's
already hit the ocean enough.
It gives me vibes of like, as we've talked about in the past, of like people who go missing in the woods. You turn around for a second and then you turn back and your friend's just gone.
It has very like a Detlev Pass vibe.
Yes. Yep.
You know, the world around us can turn us against ourselves based on climate and pressure and air and whatever.
I'm just thinking about being deep down there and I feel like I'd be so afraid of just being in open water that I'd never feel confident, but maybe just feeling drunk enough I would, but I feel like I'd be too afraid. Man, a shark could come up behind you and you never know. You can't hear anything.
Well, I imagine sharks wouldn't be that deep. Sharks aren't like deep water fish. They hang out where fish are. Most fish are above a certain point, right?
What's down there? I don't know. What's down at like 55 meters down? Most things down at like
depth are small things because the pressure. They're not huge.
Yeah, but nearby like the arch or by the blue hole where people can go?
That I don't know. I don't know what the vibe is there fish-wise.
Yeah.
But I've never had an interest. You know, it kind of reminds me of Dave the Diver. That's kind of the premise of that.
Yeah. Dave the Diver's great game, by the way. I'm going to go play that. Yep. Yeah.
It's in the Red Sea, right?
The ocean quite literally is like an alien world. It is an uninhabitable place for humanity. We cannot be down there. We have to come up with fantastical tech just to get anywhere down there. And we still can't get super deep. It is just an alien world on our own planet. And it is, I think that triggers that part of the brain too, where it's just like, this is unknowable. You put yourself in a situation that your body is not naturally meant to be in, floating around in fucking 360 degree freedom under a pressure for oxygen your brain isn't meant to take. You might as well put yourself on an alien planet where there are just things floating around you. Thasophobia makes sense to me. I could do it in a video game. I just can't, I don't want to ever do it in real
life. What's crazy is, I'm not a, there's nothing in my body that says, watch out above you, Jesse. Something above you could get you. Nothing. But like below you in the water, I'm like, there's something below me that's going to bite my ass.
There's a lot of sharks in the Red Sea. I don't know how far down they go. There's even whales, lobsters.
That's the other thing, too. I've seen videos of people come up on whale sharks at like that depth. And they're surprised when they come up because you can't hear them. Right. And they're
huge,
enormous. And you just
They're nice though, right?
Oh yeah, basically. Whale sharks are great. They're like super. Like they'll spit you out if they accidentally have you in their mouth. They just want to eat plankton. Yeah. But they're so big. I feel like that scale alone would be a jump scare that would fuck me up.
There was one of those VR demos they had, and it was a lot of them are designed to be scary on purpose. This was just like you're underwater experiencing a shipwreck. But at one point, literally, if you're not, if you're just focusing one direction, you will miss the fact that a whale comes up behind you. And if you turn around, there's an eye like right in your face. Nah, dude, that was the worst experience I've ever had. I was like, nope.
It was so hyper. I know exactly what you're talking about. And that was such a,
not cool.
It was such a hyper realistic eyeball looking at you because you just like, you're looking at the treasure chest and you don't hear it. And you're just like,
and that's in VR. Like, in real life where you have less control, I can pull the VR headset off. If I pulled off my mask, I am dead like all those dudes.
Yeah, you would be. You'd be done.
Yeah. Dead all those dudes.
But gentlemen, our final tale.
Oh, yes.
Submitted for the approval of the Chilluminite Society.
Approved. Red rubber stamp it.
I call this story Neues Rathaus.
Do we, instead of throw sand in the fire, do we throw ungrinded nugs into the fire?
Yes. Keef. We're all gone by now.
Just throw Keef into the fire.
Yeah, it's Keef. It's just bags of Keef into the fire.
Completely gone.
It's like that news reporter who's by that like cop thing where they're like burning a bunch of drug evidence. And he's like, woo!
In the German city of Celle, it's spelled C-E-L-L-E, but I assume it's C-L-L-E, lies an imposing Gothic brick building known as the Neues Rathaus, spelled N-E-U-E-S R-A-T house, H-A-U-S.
The new Rat House?
Which I think translates to the new town hall.
Rat House enough. Means town hall?
Rot.
It's appropriate. It's appropriate.
It's... translate to
rat house.
I'm telling you, dude.
Rat house. Rat house. It's like cartoonishly the German for rat house, like rat house. That's fucking hilarious.
Rat house.
The mystery, and dare I say, a real horror story for today. This is what I wanted to leave you all on.
Okay. Ooh, spook me.
Is indisputable history for this town. This is real stuff with like some really crazy stuff going on. Just a few kilometers from Celle is the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp. And in April 1945, in the final days of the war, a train carrying thousands of prisoners stopped in this town. Just so happened, Allied bombs hit a nearby ammunition train, and all the prisoners saw this as their chance to flee. What happened next is known as the Celle Massacre. SS guards, Gestapo, local Nazi party members, even some civilians, hunted down and executed these prisoners, as many as they could find. We're talking hundreds.
Ugh.
The barracks, this Neues Rathaus, was used to detain those who were not killed outright. We're talking blood-soaked ground here. It was nasty. But the most disturbing secrets lie beneath the ground and the barracks. When English and American forces finally took the city, they discovered they had five stories above ground to look through, but more crucially, five stories below. This, of course, took the Allies' interest because one of the things the Nazis were doing at this time, through the war, but mostly at this time as well, was stealing and hiding artwork and artifacts, and the Allies were looking for them. And since this facility was used by the SS, the Nazi paramilitary force, they wanted to check it out. But when the Allies wanted to access the lower floors, they found them deliberately sealed off and flooded. Convinced this was ominous. Because there was some importance going on there, Lieutenant General Brian Horrocks, the British military officer, who is very famous, you can look this dude up, real ass dude, ordered a dive expedition down into this water, into the five lower floors, to figure out what the hell was down there. This is official. It's recorded, it's on the record, to see what was going on. And this, my friends, is where the legend begins.
This is like a perfect horror game setup.
This is a perfect horror everything setup.
All right, Bob, you're the only one that's qualified to do this. You can't go in with anybody else, and all we got is a flashlight and a diving suit. Good luck, and if any horrors are down there, just ring this bell, pull this string, and we'll pull you right out.
Three elite divers are sent down, each tethered by a line, and sent in different areas to maximize the exploration for the submerged levels. 30 minutes later, only one diver returned. He was pulled out, screaming, eyes filled with terror. He was raving like a lunatic and had to be heavily sedated. When he finally was calm enough to speak, his account was horrifying. He describes seeing strange symbols and pentagrams etched into the walls. As he went deeper, in the third floor, the third level down, he swore he saw mutilated corpses strapped to chairs. They were arranged in weird, profane, maybe occult-like rituals. He saw bodies missing limbs, abdomens ripped open. And most shockingly, the further he went down, he swears he saw a person who had a goat's head grafted onto their neck.
What?
But the worst Crazy. Part, the thing that I think shattered his mind, is that he claimed they weren't floating there dead and still. He saw them twitching and moving as if they were alive.
Huh.
What the fuck?
The two other divers.
I was going to say, what about the two that didn't come back?
Were never recovered. They pulled back the lines and they were gone.
Huh. Just gone.
And this is all on record?
On record. When the rest of the British forces finally arrived, they sealed off the subterranean level. When they finally occupied the town officially, they just sealed it off completely, permanently.
What did they, destroy it at some point? Did nobody ever go back down there? Like, what happened?
Great question.
To the place?
No clue. I'm sure many people have theories of what was down there. It could just be Allied propaganda to make the Nazis look bad. You know,
right.
Like it could be anything. We really don't know. There's nothing else after that, except insanely during the Cold War, the building was used as a NATO barracks, and the soldiers who lived there reported a lot of strange things. Soldiers would wake up to the sound of jackboot marching in empty halls. Their windows would, you know, which were like 7 feet off the ground, would see silhouettes of German men walking past them. One officer claimed he saw Panzer Division on the campgrounds or parade grounds. Damn. One guy, Martin Fox, claimed that he had levitated 8 feet off the air while sleeping. So he's like,
Jesus, that sounds sick.
On the upper level, men would find strange symbols scratched into the floor or the walls from an unknown source, to the point where recruits would dare each other to sleep in those rooms. The creepy thing here is, and this is the thing that I think makes this story really like kind of sad, is that there are multiple documented cases of a spike in medical discharges, and most tragically, an unusually high rate of suicide among the troops stationed there.
What the fuck?
Was it some unseen force? Was it wartime stress? No one really knows. But the information, it's there. It's online. You can look it up. This isn't like a weird guy tells weird story kind of thing. Like, there was something going on in this place. It is very much known for this. To this day, I don't know if anyone's ever tried to get down there. I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm so curious.
It seemed like the British soldiers sealed it off permanently from the world.
That's interesting. I don't know if I ever said this, but the house I grew up in the basement on the walls from the previous tenants, had pentagram shit that said 666 gateway to hell. It was in like a part of the basement. Nothing ever happened down there.
There's sometimes like, again, this could be a story crafted by the Allies to get people to like hate the Germans even more. Like it's possible.
It could be like the Thule Society type. Like you're like basically writing a Hellboy story basically.
Yeah. It very much could be, but it's one of those things where there's no evidence to say it wasn't because they sealed it off.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yep. And incredibly weird. And I felt we should end with that.
What was that movie? Wasn't there a movie kind of like that with Wyatt Russell in there?
There's definitely like a zombie movie that's Nazi based for sure.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Is there?
I'm pretty sure there is. It's like a, what's that called? There's definitely a zombie Nazi movie.
It's called like Overlord or something. Yes,
Operation
like that.
Overlord, something like that. Which was, by the way, supposed to be in the that one Cloverfield universe.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I don't know how. I can't explain why, but it was supposed to be.
This was going to be like a Cloverfield film?
Yeah, it was. I'm sure there's an article online. You could look it up and see why.
That was like announced at a Super Bowl and then released on Netflix like the next day or something.
That was actually a Cloverfield movie. Yeah.
We should watch that on Rotten Popcorn at some point.
The Cloverfield Lane. That's a great movie, except for the last 5 minutes.
10 Cloverfield Lane. Cloverfield Lane.
I liked
that movie. Was awesome. Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
John Goodman carrying that on his back. That man is great.
We got to go do a mini-sode. Thank you so much, Jesse, for starting us off in the spooky month. And I'm like fascinated with the Morta stuff even further. And this rat house thing. I'm curious if anybody has any knowledge about that shit, whether you live near it or you know people who like worked in that area. I'd love
even
to know.
Even if it's not like, sexy, even if it's like that's a lie. I would like to just know.
Yeah, that I would just like to know.
That is interesting as shit. Yep. Is it still there? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I mean, you can look up photos of it. It is a red bricked kind of gothic-y looking giant barracks.
All right.
All right, yeah. If anybody out there has any connection, I'd love to know if there's any truth or the rumors persist. Still, I'm curious.
Oh, definitely the rumors persist. You can look up articles from this year on it still. But are they real or is this like the longest, best propaganda against the Nazis there ever was?
I'm curious. I'm gonna be doing some research on it when I have time.
It's crazy that you would need propaganda against the Nazis. But with that said,
it was a different time.
Different time.
Back then we didn't hate the Nazis and realize they were a bunch of fascist idiots who, with their thumbs up their own butts.
No,
right up their butts. Yeah,
right. So far up of them. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. We're off to patreon.com to do a mini-sode for this week. As always, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode, starting a two-parter for another true crime series. Been a while. Who better to do during the vampire or during the Halloween season than the vampire killer of Sacramento, Richard Chase?
Oh,
so we'll be doing a two-parter on Richard Chase starting next week.
Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, baby.
Ah, that's this month. I can't wait. Oh, all right, that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.